This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Epstein perp Ghislaine Maxwell says, I am not suicidal. Will she live to testify? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Release the files.
Tens of thousands of documents related to Epstein are refusing to release.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of files.
They couldn't call it a suicide because it looked too much like a homicide.
Was it suicide or was it murder?
You promised. Now, deliver. As Ghislaine Maxwell meets with federal agents, is she one step closer to testifying? Testifying to what is in the so-called Epstein files. For over a year, we were told that those files would be released, everything in them, but now stonewalling. Now, what message does that send to sex attack victims? What message does that send about our justice system? Well, this is what Pam Bondi, the U.S. Attorney General, had to say.
What you're going to see hopefully tomorrow is a lot of flight logs, a lot of names, a lot of information, but it's pretty sick what that man did.
A source had told me where the documents were being kept, Southern District of New York, shock. So we got them all by, hopefully all of them, Friday at 8 a.m., thousands of pages of documents. I have the FBI going through them. And Director Patel is going to get us a detailed report as to why the FBI withheld all of those documents.
That from our friends at Fox News, and now government officials walking out, making statements like they've never seen anything as disgusting as what is in the files and are sick of the stonewalling. And Bondi goes on to say this.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump.
Really? Is it still sitting on your desk? Just in the past days, Bondi dumps out of a public appearance claiming some type of an ocular tear on her eye. Wow, what a coinkydink. That also from our friends at Fox, and there's more.
In a statement informing the public there will be no further releases associated with the Epstein case, FBI comments that very little of the documents would have been made public had Epstein gone to trial. The FBI further claims their review of all documents determined there was no evidence warranting investigation or prosecution of any third parties mentioned in the documents, and they doubled down that a rumored client list never existed. The Bureau also claims they found no credible evidence that Epstein blackmailed any prominent individuals.
The FBI Deputy Director Bongino vows to reveal the truth in a cryptic social media post. This as he storms out of the over the mishandling of the Epstein files, finally coming back. Apparently, there's war over the Epstein files, and if there's nothing in them, why not release them? After we've been told over and over and over that what's in those files is shocking, now an abrupt about-face joining me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now, but straight out to you, Lauren Conlon, investigative reporter, co-host Pop Crime TV. Lauren, thank you for being with us. What's the latest? I'm going to get to Ghislaine Maxwell in just a moment, but it's all about the files. The whole reason I'm even saying her name, because she is a child molester, the whole reason I'm even saying her name is because she might help in some way get these files released. Why did FBI Deputy Director Bongino storm out of his office?
Well, Nancy, I think what's going on here is that they are being so secretive about this that we don't actually know the truth of what is going on internally. What we know is that the DOJ and the FBI, they seem to be arguing internally and kicking the can down the road. And I think at this point, the American people have so much distrust towards this administration because a lot of their campaign hinged on this. Oh, we're going to get rid of the deep state. We're going to show you all of the files. We're going to be so transparent. You know, we as the American people, we didn't necessarily ask for these files as we're doing right now. The Trump administration told us that we were going to get them.
That's not entirely true. From the very beginning, I've been screaming from the rooftops to release the files. And that question I asked you about the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino declared in the last 72 hours that he had made, quote, recent discoveries about government corruption and weaponization that shocked him, his words, not mine, to the core. Now, we've been talking about the Epstein files for a really long time. As a matter of fact, Sydney Sunner joining me, investigative reporter with Crime Stories. Sydney, this goes all the way back to Epstein's sweetheart deal that he got in Palm Beach. Remember that? Remember that? Ghislaine Maxwell reeling in little girls like a fly fisherman, and they come to his place. Come to his place to get molested. Right. And he gets essentially house arrest. He has a limo pick him up every day at the jail to drive him to his place or wherever he wants to go. That was his punishment. It all started then. Screams about corruption, sweetheart deals, secrecy. Goes all the way back to that, Sydney Sumner. And then Epstein dies behind bars, and the furor was intense at that time to release the files, the so-called client list. And I'm not saying that there is a, quote, client list, like, you know, somebody has an address book, like you think Epstein had a little red leather address book with everybody's names in it. No, it's not like that. You have to pour through all the documents. Who came to his place? Who flew on his plane? Who went on the Lolita Express? Who went to his private island where girls were molested? That's what I mean by a client list. This goes way back, Sydney Sumner.
All the way to 2005. That's the first time anyone started investigating Jeffrey Epstein. And he made that sweetheart deal that was a slap on the wrist at best, all the way in 2007. And that's still relevant today because Ghislaine Maxwell is appealing her conviction, claiming that a part of that 2007 deal, Epstein secured a non-prosecution agreement for himself and all of his future found co-conspirators. So she believes that that deal applied not only to Epstein in 2019, but to her as well. And they're arguing that no one even looked at Maxwell until Epstein was dead. So this is still very, very relevant today. And Epstein's victims never saw him receive any kind of actual punishment for his behavior.
Her name has been bandied about from the very beginning. She was prosecuted and convicted and is behind bars. She has never revealed what she knows. Is now the time that's going to occur. And the only reason we're even bringing her up, Eric Faddis, because her name is like dirt in my mouth. Eric Faddis, veteran trial lawyer, legal analyst, founding partner, Varner Faddis Elite Legal. Faddis, I'm not taking sides here. Nobody's on trial yet. What I'm saying is we were promised the release of these files when Epstein died, be it homicide or suicide. The case was effectively over, and those files should have been released then because there was no longer an ongoing prosecution. Ghislaine Maxwell is behind bars. Her appeal has been turned down. Long story short, it's over. There's no reason to keep these secret. And when you have the deputy director of the FBI stomp out of his office over the release of these files, something is very wrong, Faddis. Very wrong.
Yeah, clearly there is some internal quarreling going on among the administration, among cabinet officials even, regarding the release of these files. You know, look, they talked a big game. They garnered political support on the promise of transparency. And lo and behold, you know, they've admitted there's thousands and thousands of pages. And really, there's no legal impediment that I'm aware of that is preventing the disclosure of these things. They can be appropriately redacted to protect victim privacy and that kind of thing. But the public wants to see this, and they've been promised that. Why don't we have them? That question doesn't have an answer right now.
Now, speaking of the president, listen to this.
You ever had a personal relationship with Donald Trump? Have you socialized with him?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever socialized with Donald Trump in the presence of females under the age of 18?
Though I'd like to answer that question, at least today, I'm going to have to assert my 5th, 6th, and 14th.
That's from our friends at Media Touch Network. Now, there you hear Epstein answering a question. Have you ever had a personal relationship with Donald Trump? Have you ever socialized with him? Yes, yes, sir. Okay, that means nothing to me. Everybody with a lot of money or political clout seemingly socialized with Epstein. Bill Gates met with him about funding some charity. I don't know how many times. Prince Andrew, weirdo, he was friends with him, and they've been photographed together. Clinton, Obama, it goes on and on. So Trump's right in there. That means nothing about Trump yet. Now, the second question, have you ever socialized with Trump in the presence of females under the age of 18? He asserts his 5th, 6th, 14th Amendment rights to remain silent. Now, does that mean Trump did anything wrong? No. He is asserting his 5th Amendment right to remain silent, indicating that he socialized with underage girls. So I'm still not getting Trump wrongdoing, not seeing it. And look, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. Don't care, but I don't see Trump implicated in wrongdoing here. However, the whole aspect of not releasing the files. Robert Crispin is joining me now, a renowned private investigator with Crispin Special Investigations, but formerly with the Department of Justice. Okay, something stinks. I want justice. That is not a cliche. That's real. Now, so far, Trump, in my opinion, has not been implicated in any wrongdoing. But keeping these files secret, fighting with your deputy director of the FBI over their release? If there's nothing in them, why not release them, Crispin?
Well, this is what's really important about the government meeting with Maxwell, talking about the list. I think that she's been in jail long enough, and I think she has reached out to her lawyers and said, you know what, I don't like it in here. It's time. I want to talk. And I think they're holding back these lists until they finish their interview with her so they can start.
Crispin, are you saying that she has marinated behind bars long enough to come to the realization she doesn't want to stay there?
Absolutely. Anyone, listen, when people get arrested, especially in these types of magnitude of cases, they don't talk. Nobody talks. But when you're in jail and you're stripped of your dignity, year after year after year, and you potentially hold your own ticket to get out.
What do you mean stripped of your dignity? She is having yoga classes. She's in a Baby Max. I mean, they have yoga classes. They have vegan meals. She goes for long walks. You can see her walking the grounds. Nobody's bothering her. What do you mean?
You're still living under someone else's
dignity.
And she still wants to get out. She knows at this point, the only way out is to start talking to the U.S. government about that entire list, what really happened. Listen, the government wanted to talk to her back in the day when everyone got arrested. Nobody talked. She's realizing this is my only ticket out of here. And I have a feeling that this is why that list is not getting released, because I think the government now is going to go talk to her. And I believe that it's her lawyers that came forward and said, listen, she wants to talk.
Joe Scott Morgan, you heard what Crispin said. I'm going to get right back to his point. But Joe Scott, I think I've got an idea about why she wants to get from behind bars. She wants to live. Joining me, Joseph Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet, and he's the star of a hit podcast, Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan. Joe Scott, you and I both say that, you know, if I were a better, I'd take Vegas odds, Epstein was murdered. Now, I'm throwing out Vegas odds, but you have reasons to think he was murdered. And he's what, Sydney, what is he, number four or five connected to this case that has committed suicide or had an OD? Let's see. There is Epstein, of course, Virginia Giuffre, who spoke out, got a multi-million dollar settlement after being connected with Ghislaine Maxwell. You got Jean-Luc Brunel, the French equivalent, who supplied girls as young as 12 to Epstein. Then you have two of the molestation victims. Do I have that right, Sydney? Five people dead by suicide already? Is it five?
As far as I know, Nancy, yeah, that's correct.
And you know, if there are thousands and thousands of victims, Joseph Scott Morgan, as the files indicate that there are, I mean, this goes back for decades, and you get a new little girl every week, it adds up, right? Who else may have committed suicide or died that could have testified? Yes, she wants out. I guess so. Why do you think Epstein was murdered?
Well, because, well, first off, the ME in New York made a critical error of using the term soft hanging, which means that you kind of slide into a noose where you're supported. It doesn't have to be a total suspension hanging. And the evidence that Dr. Bodden in particular
has talked about. Joe Scott, you know how I feel about you, right? I love you. I love your wife. I love your son. Can you please speak English? Okay? We're not all death investigators. When you say a soft hanging, are you talking about like Robin Williams, where you attach something to the back of your bed or your doorknob and you lean forward to it, as opposed to a violent drop down from a rafter and don't break your neck? In the hanging. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it is. Most people associate hanging with with old judicial hangings where there's a lot of violence. That's not what they're saying. However, the evidence bears that there was something else going on. He's got two thyroid fractures, and this is a cartilaginous body. It's cartilage, like in your nose right here. So he's got two cartilage fractures right here, and then if you go up, on the left side, the hyoid is very high in the neck. That's why it generally is not fractured in a hanging. And the left greater horn, it's kind of bird shaped. The left greater horn is snapped off at the tip. He's also got some other curious insults to his body. His deltoid, or right here where the neck kind of dumps into the shoulder, he's got a deep tissue bruise right here, which is not going to be associated with a hanging, Nancy. He's also got these kind of faint bruises that they documented on both the wrist and the ankles. There's a lot of violence that has been associated with his death, or evidence of it, at least some kind of trauma.
So I guess Ghislaine Maxwell does want out from behind bars before she ends up committing suicide herself. And it's on her mind because she issued a statement that says, I am not suicidal, period. Now, here's what, go ahead, please. I hear you taking a deep breath. Go.
No, I mean, I can understand that because they're, you know, let's face it, when you're in that system, you are a ward of the state, you know, and she knows in her mind that her counterpart in all of these horrific crimes is now pushing up daisies. She doesn't want, and she's in custodial care of the same organization. She doesn't want to wind up the same way, and maybe that's prompting her. I have no idea, but I do know this.
She is the human Epstein file. She knows more than the files can tell us. Now, all of this is happening on the headline of every online news site. Look at it. The New York Post, the Daily Mail, Drudge, WashPo, you name it, Wall Street Journal, blah, 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 blah. It's all about the Epstein files and why won't Trump allow them to be released? Okay. Now, with all of that going down, with the place burning down around him, Rome is burning. Hello, Nero. Listen to this. How many hundreds of hours do you think the White House and people within the White House, not just Trump, have been talking about the Epstein files and the possibility Trump's name is in them? Listen.
No, no, she's given us just a very quick briefing. And in terms of the credibility of the different things that they've seen, And I would say that, you know, these files were made up by Comey. They were made up by Obama. They were made up by the Biden, we went through years of that with the Russia hoax, with all of the different things that we had to go through. We've gone through years of it, but she's handled it very well. And it's going to be up to her. Whatever she thinks is credible, she should release.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Okay, wait a minute. Do I have everything bass-ackwards? Because I don't think I do. Lauren Conlon joining me, investigative reporter. The Epstein files were made up by Comey? Or wait, this says they were made up by Comey and Obama and Biden. The Epstein files have existed long before any of those players came onto the scene. They go all the way back to his Palm Beach child molestation days. Nobody made them up. And with all of the banners at the top of all of the news outlets about the Epstein files, you know, Blondie's camped out in the White House, in the Oval Office. But when asked, did Blondie tell you your name appears in the filing? No. Well, even I know his name appears in the filing. What? Explain.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not a great look for Trump. I'm not really sure why he's trying to gaslight us like this. But look, just because your name is on the files or on one of the flight logs, that doesn't mean that you visited the island. I mean, multiple people have come out, like Robert Kennedy Jr. He said, I've flown on Epstein's jet with my wife, my former wife, with my children.
I don't
children.
Know that that's a very good example.
Well, listen, okay, fine. Let me tell you this. So
let's go with
week,
Bill Gates. Let's go with Gates.
Okay. Fine, fair.
He's innocuous enough. I don't see him being part of a child molestation ring.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to say that about anybody at this point because we really don't know anything here. But what I will say is that Trump is trying too hard. I just interviewed Rudy Giuliani, who is a Trump ally, told me this crazy story about how Trump actually kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago. I think it was around 2010 because he actually got complaints from his masseuses that allegedly Jeffrey Epstein was asking them for sexual favors at the end of his massage. And Trump said, you know what? I want nothing to do with this sicko. And he kicked him out. And I'll also say this, Nancy.
You know, here's another thing. Hold on. I want to throw that to Dr. Cheryl Arrett joining us, clinical forensic psychologist specializing in cases just like this. Dr. Cheryl, look. From what I've been told, Trump doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do drugs. I find it really hard to believe he would take part in child molestation. Of course, you know what? We don't know that. But the fact that his name is in the files doesn't mean he did anything wrong. I mean, think of Bill Gates trying to drum up money for a charity with Epstein. That doesn't mean he did anything wrong. But the hiding it, I mean, remember Watergate? Okay, there was a break-in, but the cover-up overshadowed everything else. And what it boils down to, Dr. Cheryl, is the truth, is other defendants, other child molesters that need to be prosecuted. That's what this is about. It is not about Trump. It is not about politics. It's about Lady Justice.
It's about the victims. It's about the victims of trafficking. As you may know, I serve on a board of directors of an organization called Mary's Path. And it helps pregnant teens who are victims of trafficking. And I will tell you that these kids are some of the most traumatized, most vulnerable crime victims of any crime victims. And they really, really need our protection. And we're trying to find out what's going on. We're trying to think about them and protect them. And the concern with Ghislaine Maxwell, she's in prison for sex trafficking, for hurting so many of these young women and building their trust and violating their trust. She's already been charged with multiple counts of perjury in the past. And what we know as psychologists is the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of truth-telling in her past behavior.
The U.S. Attorney General promising out the yin yang, promising the release of the Epstein files. And now we're being told there's nothing in there, so we're not releasing them. If there's nothing in there, why not release them?
This is a cover up of epic proportions.
There's a lot of errors in the Justice Department report.
The information contained in those files could jeopardize any potential appeal of Ghislaine Maxwell.
And now a big stink bomb in the middle of the case. Ghislaine Maxwell actually meets with the feds. Listen.
As Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche announces a meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell to gather more information on Jeffrey Epstein and his alleged clients, the House Oversight Committee also announces plans to subpoena Maxwell. Representative James Comer, the committee chair, makes it clear that Maxwell will not be receiving any kind of pardon or immunity in exchange for her testimony. The jailhouse deposition has been tentatively scheduled for August 11th.
They want to know if Maxwell wants to talk, what she has to say. So that's why yesterday my committee moved to make a motion to issue a subpoena. If she's wanting a pardon or any immunity. Type of immunity, that's off the table.
From our friends at CNN, okay, she's talking. She is talking. She had a very long meeting. And she went back into her facility, her CI, with a huge box, obviously containing documents. Reportedly, she had on handcuffs so tight during that meeting with the feds that her wrists were red when she came out of the meeting. Lauren Conlon joining us. Lauren, what do you know?
Ghislaine Maxwell, on July 24th and July 25th, she met with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche at her Tallahassee prison, and it lasted for about 2 days. And she had a box with her when she went back to prison, that there was photographs taken. Everybody was wondering what was in this box. And apparently her handcuffs were on extremely tight, Nancy. So we hopefully will find out what was said during this meeting. We are not sure yet.
Now I'm thinking about what Dr. Cheryl Arendt just said. To Eric Faddis joining us, veteran trial lawyer, following up also on what Lauren Conlon said. She'll say anything to get out, to get out from behind bars. But whatever she says will very likely be corroborated. So I'm trying to figure out what you think about her talking for hours and hours and hours from behind bars. It's got to be about the Epstein files, obviously. But I would imagine the first thing she did was try to hammer out a deal for herself.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, look, we know that she's not doing this out of the goodness of her heart, right? She has got an incentive. She is behind bars in a box for 20 years. And so, you know, my question, too, is how did this conversation go? You know, she's asked a bunch of leading questions like, hey, was this person involved? She might feel, hey, they want me to say that, so I'm just going to agree to it. There are certainly credibility issues, but like you said, it can be cross-checked against documents in other investigations.
Credibility issues? That's putting it mildly. That's putting perfume on the pig. Ghislaine Maxwell, credibility issues? You know, I want you to hear what the late Virginia Giuffre had to say about Ghislaine Maxwell.
The late Virginia Giuffre, a former Epstein sex slave, always pointed to Maxwell as the crueler of the couple. Giuffre called Maxwell vicious, evil, and the Geppetto to Epstein's Pinocchio. Maxwell was heavily criticized for playing dumb in a 2016 deposition, asking the deposer to explain a sex toy to her at one point in the interview. Maxwell also publicly denied that Giuffre ever met Prince Andrew, despite standing next to her with the royal in heavily circulated photos.
You know what, Robert Crispin, a couple of people here on the set actually broke a smile when the issue regarding Ghislaine Maxwell playing dumb and not being forthcoming under oath in a depo, asking the questioner to explain what is a sex toy. Crispin, obviously, people that crack a smile at Ghislaine Maxwell being clever and witty have never seen a sex trafficking victim.
I just think that Ghislaine Maxwell is obviously a piece of garbage. And when I react to her testimony, I'm reacting to, she's such a liar. I hope these guys aren't falling for any of this. And this entire meeting that's going on with the U.S. Attorney's Office last week, trust me, when they talked to her, they said, we will walk out in the first lie or deception that we feel. So moving forward, every single question we ask you must be the truth. Trust me, that has been reiterated to her from the government officials as well as her lawyers. Elaine wants out. Elaine wants to live. It's go time. And I guarantee you, she's given the government some bombshell information. And I think that's why this list has not come out, because now they have to go back and decipher every single thing that she said. This meeting wasn't just to go talk about the case. This was a very pointed, direct, and factual obtaining mission by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Crispin, have you ever had to do something in the pursuit of the truth, in the pursuit of justice, that turned your stomach? For instance, put somebody on the stand of questionable character, let me just put it mildly, because you needed the testimony. I call it going to hell to get the witness to put the devil in jail. I feel like I'm eating a dirt sandwich by even entertaining any kind of a deal for Ghislaine Maxwell. As a matter of fact, we heard what Virginia Giuffre, now dead by suicide, had to say about Ghislaine Maxwell. Well, another victim, Teresa Helm, says something similar. Listen.
Victim Teresa Helm echoes others' concern that Maxwell will not provide any more truth on the situation. Helm describes Maxwell as crafty and extremely articulate. Helm worries Maxwell will walk away from these meetings with a sweetheart deal and the public will be left wanting. Helm says if Maxwell negotiates anything like Epstein's 2007 slap on the wrist, it would be a tragic day for those who survived her horrific abuse.
Promise after promise after promise. The confusion around suicide v. homicide. The edited video.
They said that he was found dead from an apparent suicide.
There are more than 11,000 documents that have not been released to the public around this child sex trafficking ring.
Why would they have lied about that? Federal officials tell us that what's in those files is, quote, shocking. Disgusting. Worse than anything they've seen before. That's bad. That's bad for a politician who's seen it all and likely done it all to say the files are that contemptuous. Ghislaine Maxwell may be the key to the client list, as we call it euphemistically. Young girls that were lured by Ghislaine Maxwell say she is sinister, that she's worse than Epstein himself. The federal government also calls her, quote, crafty. Listen.
Federal prosecutors wrote in Ghislaine Maxwell's sentencing memorandum that the socialite displayed a significant pattern of dishonest conduct. They noted several instances of Maxwell lying under oath. In 2021, Maxwell told the court, I have committed no crime, which was demonstrably false. In a 2016 deposition, Maxwell claimed she never gave victim Annie Farmer a massage, but Farmer's testimony at trial established that as a lie. Maxwell also lied about her assets while applying for bail. Prosecutors wrote, in short, the defendant decides when she wishes to disclose facts to the court, and those facts shift when it serves the defendant's interests.
I mean, the reality is, who do you think Epstein's hanging around with? Nuns and priests and virgins? No. He's with Ghislaine Maxwell. She is a child molester, and she's convicted, and she is a liar. So far, her appeals have been turned down. Now she's trying to get the Supremes on her case. Lauren Conlon, you've done extensive interviews and research. What more can you tell us?
Yes. So I actually interviewed her appellate team, or part of her appellate team, in February of 2025, right when Pam Bondi was supposed to roll out phase one of these files. So I'm talking to Arthur Idala, and he actually tells me that Ghislaine said to him about Jeffrey Epstein and his alleged quote unquote suicide, that Jeffrey Epstein would not have the balls, excuse my language, to kill himself. I found that incredibly interesting. But at the same time, Nancy, Arthur also seemed to gaslight me a little bit in this interview. And I've clipped it. You can find this very easily where he says to me, Lauren, I just don't think that Ghislaine has this power that you think that she has. And that was a slap to me because, look, we're all talking about it, Nancy. She does. And something you just said, when you talk about these files that and you've heard that they are, quote, shocking, disgusting. I mean, you are visibly horrified, right? When Pam Bondi did her little media tour about this, all she said about these files were, oh, it's pretty sick. They're pretty sick. That didn't sit right with me. That to me was very telling. She hasn't read the files. She doesn't even know what's on these files. And so again, this just goes back to us being lied to, the American people being lied to. I don't know who to trust at this point. You know, as you said, Ghislaine, she's been charged in 2020, multiple counts of perjury. So why are we supposed to believe her now?
What I have learned in the course of our properly predicated and necessary investigations into these aforementioned matters, she's talking about Epstein, has, quote, shocked me down to my core. Bongino said that on X. He goes on to state, we cannot run a republic like this. I'll never be the same after learning what I have learned. Okay, I mean, what does he have to do? Take out a billboard on Third Avenue for anybody to pay attention? This guy, again, has not been marinated in the power of the White House. He just got in as deputy director of the FBI. And he says he cannot forget what he's seen, that he is, quote, shot to the core. What is in the files? Back to you, Joe Scott Morgan, joining us. I want to circle back, Joe Scott, to the fact that you and I and many, many others believe that Epstein was murdered. His brother believes it. People that knew him believes it. And all this business about Ghislaine Maxwell's defense lawyer saying, oh, she doesn't know anything. Of course he's going to say something like that. What do you expect? He's paid to say things like that. But Joe Scott, when you look at the brutality of Epstein's death, those deep furrows in his neck, bottom line, she better come up with some truth. A big truth bomb in a hurry.
Yeah, that's my biggest piece to this that I don't know. It's so glaringly obvious. You can see it actually on the CBS report. Those marks on his neck, Nancy, the biggest tell for me as an old death investigator is the fact that they run parallel to his shoulders. There's not the tenting feature, the classic tenting feature where you have with the hanging. These marks on his neck, and I urge everybody just to look at these. It's very simple to see. They run backwards like this instead of going to an apex behind his head. That is what we would call atypical. I mean, what did he do? Lay down face down on the floor with a noose around his neck in order to draw this thing around his neck and choke the life out of him? I just don't see it happening. You cannot sell this to me, no matter how hard you try. I am not believing it.
After her hours-long meeting with Deputy U.S. Attorney General Todd Blanche, Ghislaine Maxwell returned to the FCI Tallahassee clad in brown prison clothes and handcuffed in the front. But when she goes through the gates, an officer follows behind her with a mysterious box. Once Maxwell is freed from the cuffs, she carries the bin inside. It's unclear what its contents are.
About that. What I do want to say is that Todd is a great attorney, but you ought to be speaking about Larry Summers. You ought to be speaking about some of his friends that are hedge fund guys. They're all over the place. You ought to be speaking about Bill Clinton, who went to the island 28 times. I never went to the island.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about them. I'd love to. Now, just recently, Sydney Sumner, you were with me when this happened. Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter, the attorney for 9 and counting of victims of Epstein's child molestation victims said that point blank, he can't give the names because of attorney-client privilege. He has to hold those names in. But he said that there are many, many corporate clients, Johns, of Epstein's that had sex with underage girls. That's statutory rape. He said that. And now we hear Trump stating, you ought to be talking about Larry Summers. You ought to be talking about some of his friends that are hedge fund guys. That kind of fits in with what the victim's lawyer said. You ought to be talking about Bill Clinton, who went to the island 28 times. Why was he at the island, Lolita Island, 28 times? Trump says, I never went to the island. And you know what? I believe him. I don't think he ever went to the island. But if his name is in those files, he's going to have to answer up. And that doesn't preclude Larry Summers, the hedge fund guys, or Bill Clinton from answering up. They're not mutually exclusive, Sydney. Remember when the victim's lawyer referred to all those corporate clients of Epstein's?
Yes, Nancy. And therein lies the problem, is that you hear all of these, well, Bill Clinton has been to the island 28 times. Okay, where is that information coming from exactly? How do you have proof of that? And how do we get proof of that? We need to know exactly who was there and when. And it really, at the end of the day, it isn't the public's business, but you've made it the public's business because you've promised transparency. You've promised that we're going to see how the investigation unfolded and why there isn't enough evidence to prove that anyone else was involved in this. Because those are the types of comments that make the public feel like other people should be prosecuted. So we're questioning, why aren't other people having to take responsibility for their participation in this child sex trafficking ring, but you casually throw out, oh, this person was involved? You can't have both. It's a double-edged sword. So it's really coming back and biting the White House in the butt. And they are just all over this issue on opposite sides. Just 10 days before Todd Blanche arranged this meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell, the DOJ formally opposed her appeal to the Supreme Court. They told the Supreme Court, hey, don't listen to this. This isn't valid. She needs to remain behind bars right where she is. But now they want her to spill her guts on everything she knows.
I see what you're saying. But again, those two are not mutually exclusive. Her appeal has no merit. And I'll tell you why. She doesn't have the leg to stand on. She's trying to say that she was governed by Epstein's plea deal in Palm Beach decades ago. No, I can't take a guilty plea from you, Sydney, and then you give immunity out of your deal to Robert Crispin. That has to be done through Crispin. See what I mean? So Epstein's prosecutors didn't have the power to say, we're never going to prosecute anybody else in connection to this case, ever. They could do that for him, for Epstein, but that type of blanket immunity to govern decades in the future, that's a big N-O. So I agree with the feds that that appeal has no merit. At the same time, the feds want to talk to her about the Epstein files. But I see what you're saying. It's duplicitous. It's like one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. I hear you. Lauren Conlon, where does it end? Because when I hear the deputy director of the FBI say, this is no way to run a republic. We cannot run a republic like this, quote, I'll never be the same after learning what I've learned.
Yes, I agree. This is very tough. And I think I just go back to, you know, I side with you when it comes to Dan Bongino. He is not a career politician. But Nancy, he was very much on board with this narrative that Pam Bondi put out. He was tweeting it out. He and Cash Patel were echoing the same thing. They were all on the same page. And then the reaction from his fellow Republicans, from the American people, you know, he saw that. And then all of a sudden, he backpedaled. And at the beginning of all this, back in February, there was also some blame on James Dennehy in the FBI, which is, again, why I go back to the whole, like, the DOJ and the FBI seem to be kicking the can down the road. But I agree with Sidney Sumner. This is a double-edged sword here.
Glenn has been treated unfairly for over 5 years now. If you looked up scapegoat in the dictionary, her face would be next to the dictionary definition of it.
She's telling the truth. She's got no reason to lie at this point, and she's going to keep telling the truth. Thank you. That's all we have today.
What is he saying? That's from our friends at the Tallahassee Democrat. Of course, that's Ghislaine Maxwell's defense lawyer saying, look, she's been treated unfairly. She's a child molester for decades and decades and decades. If you look up scapegoat in the dictionary, her face would be next to it. Okay, she may be a scapegoat because everybody was angry Epstein didn't go to trial. That doesn't mean she's innocent. What hangs in the balance? Justice. What hangs in the balance? The truth. All politics aside, truth. That's what we're asking for. That's what we're asking for, Bondi. You promised. Now deliver. What, if anything, will become of hours and hours and hours in a room with Ghislaine Maxwell? Will we ever get justice? Or because rich and powerful defendants may be involved, will it all just be swept under the rug like we're going to forget it? We're not. We remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Alejandro Martinez, L.A. County Sheriff, just 27, killed in the line of duty, survived by Father Arturo. American hero, Deputy Sheriff Alejandro Martinez. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.